أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Every individual that you come in contact with has one general goal. They want to be the best in whatever they are part of, whether it's studies, whether it's even deen, or for example, learning the Quran. I get many parents bringing the children over, and one thing they will always request is, can my child become the next Imam Nawawi? Can my child become the next Imam Shafi? How can my child learn from you and become the very best? This is the ideal, or this is the idea of wanting to teach our children religion. And likewise, when we take them to school, it is our hope and desire that they will be better than Einstein. But you will notice there aren't too many Imam Nawawis around or Imam Shafis around, and at the same time, there aren't too many Einsteins around. Although we will give credit that there are very spiritual people out here, there are very religious people out here, and there are people that are very successful, but you will notice that there is a limitation that we impose upon ourselves. By humans, we are limited. Allah by nature is full of knowledge. Allah by nature is full of wealth. Allah by nature is full of justice. Allah by nature is full of peace. That is Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives each one of us from His treasures. And He is willing to give some of us more than other individuals. So the question remains, how come when our child was born, we made all these du'as, Allah make them pious, Allah make them successful, Allah make them this, Allah make them that. And before we know it, some of them are using drugs, some of them are in alcohol. Some of them are involved in such business transactions that you'll wonder if they even have iman. How come? How come this has taken place with people that believe in la ilaha illallah? How come this happens to people that believe in the ayah? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْبَيِّنَةِ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. How come? And Imam Nawawi starts off his book with this given ayah. Let us look at the meaning of this ayah that we already know very well. This ayah is not a mystery. The Quran is not a mystery. We know it for the past over 1400 years, and those of you that are alive for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, you not only know the ayah, you can also recite the ayah. Not only can you recite the ayah, you can even read it with a beautiful tune, alhamdulillah. But the reality of this ayah has not come to us, because the reality of everything else has caught us up. The reality of a job has caught us up. The reality of our spouses, husband, wife, has caught us up. And when you get caught up in the realities of the world, remember, the brain is very one-tracked. Either you're listening to me or you're not. Either you're looking at me or you're not. Yes, you can get philosophical. I'm also seeing the side. Yes, you only say you're seeing the sides of me is because you are bringing that into your vision. Humans, when they are on a track, they have to continue on that given track for the given success. Once you deviate, you're gone. Once you move away, you start off a new pathway. Yes, you may come back to the original, but you go off and that takes your time. That is why when you're traveling and there's construction ahead, they call it the detour. And the detour holds you back half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, depending on how long your journey is. And each one of us are on this detour. Something is pulling us away. That is why when you study traditional thinking and you go to traditional schools, When do we start our classes? After Fajr, around that time. And it goes on to when? 11, 12, 1 p.m. Thereafter your Dhuhr and your eating takes place. By then all your core studies are done. And even in America, when they have evening classes, it is very challenging. Ask any professor that taught an evening class. He has to sometimes, or she has to sometimes, give less education and deal with a fatigued and tired class. Why? Because they are distracted. Because they are tired. They want to go home and eat and sleep and get ready for the next day's job. So we cannot let this happen to our religion. Therefore, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they are not committed, they are not commanded. And likewise, you and I are not commanded, except إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ except that we will worship our Allah. And how do we worship our Allah? It does not mean we cannot have families. It does not mean we cannot go to job. It does not mean you cannot educate. You have to sit in one corner and make Allah, Allah. It means now you have to start defining the parameters of that job. What is that job in my life? How is this job affecting my relationship between myself and my family and myself and Allah? This is very important. Because otherwise, that job now becomes your creator. That job becomes your ilah. That social activity with your friends becomes your new ma'bud and your new ilah. And once that new, whether it's job, whether it's family, whether it's school, whether it's the road, whether it's the car, whether it's your bank account, once that becomes your focus, you start losing the enjoyment of life, and you also start losing the enjoyment and the beautiful relationship between yourself and your Allah. You know, there was, and I mentioned this before, there was an individual, lots of money. Allah blessed them. However, they had an addiction. The addiction was looking at the bank balance get more and more. There came a point where the individual could not even eat lunch and dinner unless he went to someone or they went to someone's house. So they will call up people. Oh, what are you doing this evening? I'm coming to your house for dinner. I'm not giving any of your ideas what you must start doing. It's something you should not do. That's why I'm mentioning it here. So his lunch was taken care of. The dinner was taken care of. Eventually there came a time where they could not even want to spend on that relationship of theirs, because they just wanted to see more and more coming in the bank account. So the money is there. It's getting more and more. But they can't enjoy it. They made that their new ma'bud. I've seen students, wonderful students, brilliant students. I don't know who lied to them. But somebody lied to them and told them, you're going to be the next basketball champ. And this fellow cannot read Quran, cannot focus on religion. And that person was not even taught as this gentleman over here. Now, can you imagine? And the last basketball players that I've checked, they're even taller than him. Am I correct? This guy, that the students were not even tall as him, not even athletic as him, eating junk food most of the time, didn't even have a good diet, but someone convinced them they're going to be a champ. And because their mother will massage their feet whenever their feet used to hurt, now they were really convinced. If my mother is massaging my feet, I'm really going to make it. It's supposed to be the other way around. You're massaging your mother's feet. So for some it is the basketball. For some it is looking at that dollar sign on the bank account. For some it is the projects they are part of. And these projects, for some it be the homeless shelter, whatever it may be. You have to ask yourself, what is the thing that is distracting me from my true worship of Allah? So what are we referring to? Yes, by all means play basketball, by all means get a job. But the job has a place. And the place of the job is for me to go to work and do what is necessary so money can come on the table and I can feed my family, I can pay my rent, I can get a house so I can have dignity, so the landlord will not sit on my head and I can worship my Allah the way my Allah wants me to worship Him. That's what we have to do. How can I educate to better worship my Allah? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ and مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. Do as you are called upon to do and do it with utmost sincerity. This is again a very important key. Worship Allah as if you are not going to be able to live in your next breath. You know, sometimes, as I always use this example, and tax time is coming, what's the biggest fear people have? You know, even when they're putting that, when they're clicking the key to send off the IRS, whatever payment that you do, or in the old days, putting the letter in the mailbox, you'd be amazed. People don't just put the letter in the mailbox, they hold that letter and they start praying, you know, they start reading Ayatul Kursi. They never read Ayatul Kursi when they left the home in the morning. They never read the two rakats sunnah before Fajr Salah. The Fajr Salah was read very quick. But when they put that letter in, that IRS letter in the mailbox, they read Ayatul Kursi, oh Allah, take it safe. And thereafter, oh Allah, make it such that person will not audit me. Oh Allah, make it such that is accept whatever I'm putting in here. Amazing, huh? We do it with sincerity, with genuineness, because it's the IRS. We don't want to get audited. It's every man and every woman's nightmare. That's how you have to worship Allah and beyond. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ حُنَفَى. And you have to be, the hunafa are those individuals that are very, very monotheistic. No ascribing partners with Allah. It's Allah and Allah and only Allah. My honesty for Allah. My sincerity for Allah. My kindness for Allah. Because my brothers and sisters, if you deviate from this, you will ruin your life. If you are kind to a person because you expect something from that person is not going to be always there for you. Whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a friend, name it. Their kindness to you is linked to some benefit they can derive from you. And when a person says, I'm kind to you and I don't want anything from you, run from that person even faster. Why do you have to say that I don't want something from you? Shouldn't you just do it and move on? The fact that you're saying that could also imply that the thought of someone or something as benefiting you has come. You know, there are these little clips people send, and there's this clip that said there are three types of people. They were just talking, and this is something that is nice for us to reflect on regarding our friends and friendship and family and associates. You get what is known as, they say, the leaf person, the branch person, and the root person. Now, as you know, a leaf person, like leaves. Leaves come, they do their job, and the season comes to an end, it falls down, and then a new job begins for it in the ground, and it is decomposed, and it is gone. And people are going to be that way as well, some people in your life. They will come, they will give you benefit, like how the leaves give us benefit, you know, in the exchange of the whole concept of carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, etc., photosynthesis. It has a role, it has a wonderful role. That's why if Allah gave you the space, grow trees, grow plants. They make zikr. Not only they make zikr, they create benefit for society and our environment, our community, our health. So there is an importance for these things. But we should not become limited like them. So our goal should be more. To make these alliances that create profound levels of benefit beyond after it just falls into the ground and decomposes. But some people are just that way. They're going to come to your life and they're going to go away. Then you get some people that are a little bit stronger. They're a little bit stronger. And they are like the branches. They will hold you when you're about to fall. They will be there for you at night when you need someone to call and discuss with. But they too sometimes get frustrated. I mean, how much can a person help you?
So they too also break away, maybe after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years. And then there is the third group that was mentioned in that little text, are those that are very root bound. They are stronger. And the Quran also talks about these people. And I'll talk about that ayah very shortly. And these people are going to be your backbone and your foundation and your solidness. They will help you in getting the education you want to get. They will help you academically. They will help you financially. They will help you spiritually. They will try to give you advice, even if it is against themselves. They will give you advice so you can benefit and become the best human that you can ever be. These people are very, very few to come by. If you find such a person, grab onto them, because they are very few. And in fact, these people you may not even find locally. You may have to go abroad. You may have to really be in a search and a quest for them. And Allah says, there are some people, their hearts are so hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَيَّ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ They are like stones. And then Allah said, not only like stones, they are harder than stones. And there are many hadith that also make mention. These people are like hard pieces of ground that even water will not go through them to create benefit. Because water creates benefit to the ground. It goes in, softens the soil. After it softens the soil, inshallah, when you put your seeds, it starts germinating. And once after germination, plants can grow, create environmental benefit, human benefit, and people are like that. So some that are good, they are that way, and others, they are very hard. So coming back to this ayah, what are you? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِعَبُدَ اللَّهِ You've been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ Very sincerely, حُنَفَا in a way of total monotheism, one-sidedness, in a sense that it is only my Allah that I derive what I need to derive. And it's only through the knowledge my Allah gives me, I'm able to go on the next level. That is why they say, one of the ways, and by the way, I have volunteered to be part of a group, and inshallah we'll be making those videos prevalent. It's some of the most successful people in Utah, CEOs, etc. And it's volunteer, meaning there is no money involved in this. But the idea is to give them insight, because once I said, I remember, and by the way, this thing started off with a child. You know, you get schools coming to the masjid. So I told to those children, I really appreciate your teachers bringing you here, because 20% roughly of the human population are Muslim. That means one in every five is a Muslim. So you have to learn more about this religion, because whether you like it or not, the Muslim population is growing. And through understanding them, understanding their religion, not only will you bring you financial gain, hopefully, but it'll make you more sensitive to these given individuals. So that way, when you interact with them, you will not have this myopia, this myopic vision, this narrow vision, this tunnel vision. And this will allow them to develop as well as yourself to develop as well. So the idea of this program, and one of the things we learned from it, and I've shared to them today before coming here, was two things make you very connected with Allah. One is trust. You have to trust in Allah, and you have to trust the system of Allah. That means no doubt in it. When Allah says don't lie, it's no lie. When Allah says it is through your hard work and effort and the acceptance of that by Allah will you be successful, you have to believe that. You cannot just say it is only me and my hard work and that's what will only do it. Because we know full well, people in third world countries are working harder than you and I. All for $3 a day. All just to survive. So it's not about only hard work. It's about hard work that is accepted, that Allah brings barakah in. And point number two we talked about, and I want to share with you, is the aspect of constancy and consistency. Regardless of how small a project you are part of, we have to be consistent and we have to be constant. And this is where many of us go down. Ramadan is coming, and you'll notice many people will pray the Isha Salah with Jama'ah, Alhamdulillah. And many people will read Quran. But once Ramadan is over, that Salah with Jama'ah is gone. And not only that, that Quran reciting and learning is also gone. So yes, they were constant for 1 month. They were consistent for 1 month, but they were not trusting in Allah in the manner of totality. Because if you gave yourself to Allah, you don't only accept one aspect. You are what they say, like 3D. You look at all the parts. So the first part is trust in Allah, and thereafter being consistent in that trust and being consistent and consistent throughout. And this is where I think our flaw lies as humans in nature. So the hadith Imam Nawawi brings up regarding this, and I will conclude with this, because Imam Nawawi mentions an ayah, and under the ayah he mentions a hadith that you can use to make reality. And he says, a person's deeds are directly linked, of course, to the intention. You know the famous hadith, innama al-a'malu binniyah. Everybody knows the hadith. So a guy who's being wrong, well, Allah knows my intention, they'll say. And the girl is doing something she shouldn't be doing, well, Allah knows my intention. No. It doesn't work that way. Because there are other hadiths that also make note. It's not only about your intention, it's about your intention as well as your action. So you judge a man or a woman not only on the action, but the intention, and not only in the intention, but the action that follows thereafter. If you get caught up in just one, you reduce the benefit. A lot of people out there do a lot of good, but the intention is evil. Their good is to manipulate. I'm good to you, so you'll appreciate me. So end of the month, I can come to you and say, brother, you know, I need some extra this, can you come and help me? So the intention has to be right. And it has to be followed by good action thereafter. That's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala says the following, there are people that will immigrate for different purposes. Some will immigrate, you know, for marriage purposes. Some will get married for, not for the purpose of creating benefit to themselves and staying away from haram, but they get married to exploit another human. We're getting a lot of marriages, people coming from certain parts of the world. I guess this trend changes every now and then. And the women from that part of the world are pulling our locals. When I say locals, many of them are non-Muslims. And for whatever reason, they want to come to America, better life, etc. And after coming here, we are seeing, after 4 or 5 years, a spiral in divorce. Either the guy is not happy, he feels deceived. Why did you marry me? You said you were going to convert to this given faith. Now you haven't given up Islam. And he's just continuing. And both of them are not happy. She's miserable, he's miserable. And you wonder, why are they miserable? Because Imam Nawawi, and his given hadith of Umar bin Khattab says, your intention and your foundation was wrong. You did not want to marry for total happiness. You didn't want to marry for contentment. You didn't want to marry to connect yourself to Allah while being together and getting less distracted with other men and women out there. So because your intention was wrong, now today, unfortunately, you are going through this given misery and miserable situation. So my brothers, to wrap it up, we have to ask ourselves this question. Why do we worship Allah? Number one. And one, A, are we really committed to our Allah? One, B, are we sincere in our commitment or the claims we have made? One, C, we have to ask ourselves a very important question. If I am committed, and I am sincere, where is the proof of that in my everyday life? Do I see it when I talk to people? Do I see it when I interact with people? Do I see it in my community? Do I see it at my job? If we are not seeing it, then obviously we have to ask ourselves, based on this given hadith, why am I living? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And inshallah, by asking these simple questions, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah, not only in our relationship with Allah, but also inshallah, in our relationship with those around us as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.